Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello there. How's everyone today? Good to talk again. It is Thursday around noon here in Pittsburgh. Let's chat a little bit. There's not a lot on the docket for us today, but we will have, we're going to preview tonight's game. Hall of Fame were announced. I'm a big Hall of Fame guy. I love those conversations. One of my favorite things to talk about on Twitter or with you, whatever. Obviously, you've reached the Locked On NFL podcast. I'm Matt Williamson. You probably know that by now. I'm at Williamson NFL. Drop me a line anytime on Twitter. And we are going to answer a couple Twitter questions, too. So that's pretty much it. It'll be a short show today compared to some of the other ones, especially tomorrow. We're going to break down every game. Yesterday was Power Ranks. Surprising I didn't hear more from you guys giving me a hard time about Power Ranks. But so be it. Good. I'm fine with that. Tonight's preview. Not a great game. I really am not super excited about either team. I think it should be a competitive game, though. I mean, I think it's... I'm going to take the Jets to win, but I don't feel great about it. What I like the most for the Jets is if you go back and watch their game last week against the Bengals, their defensive line was unbelievable, and I think that's going to be not a fluke at all. Let's just say that. That is not a fluky thing at all. Leonard Williams looks even better in his second year. Jets didn't even have Sheldon Richardson in that game. They are wrecking machines. We know about Mo Wilkerson. He's absolutely. If you don't know about Mo Wilkerson, J.J. Watt might be the only five-technique type player that's a better player than Mo Wilkerson. He's that good. I mean, he's one of the top 10 defensive players in the league. He's a stud. And Leonard, the other two aren't too shabby either. I mean, they're basically three Pro Bowlers. And now they have Steve McClendon, who had two or two and a half sacks in that game, too, as a nose tackle type, rotational player. And they can put these guys all over the place. I just wrote an article about it. I urge you to check that out. But the problem is, the Bills' offensive line, that's a problem right now. And more so than ever, because their best lineman, left tackle Cordy Glenn, is not going to play tonight. And when everybody's right, I like the left side of that line. You know, Glenn, Incognito at guard, Wood at center. Those threesome are pretty darn good. And the right side's problematic. So now you take your best guy out of the equation, left tackle Cordy Glenn, and Sammy Watkins isn't 100%. I mean, what on earth is going to – what are the Bills going to do on offense tonight? I mean, to me, it comes down to, can the Bills run the football? They had 65 yards rushing last week in a run-first offense. You know, and I don't think that – I'm not blaming McCoy for that. I do think that it's time to – you know, I'm open to the idea that the Ravens' defense is better than I thought. But, man, I mean, I also think this passing game is just so Sammy Watkins-dependent. And I don't know what to think about his foot situation. I mean, we keep reading different things throughout the week that – maybe they'll shut him down or constant pain, but the MRIs or x-rays or whatever they do aren't showing anything. And okay, I mean, it just sounds like he's not the same. You know, he's recovering from something from the summer, too. I wonder if this season is going to be somewhat of a wash for him. If he's not great, great, and he can be. I love him. This passing game won't be good. It just won't. And he's going to get Revis tonight. And that's a big conversation because A.J. Green just ate Revis up. But an injured Sammy Watkins is not A.J. Green. And if he's right, I give him the advantage versus Revis. In fact, he certainly got the better of Revis last year. You know, Watkins was really coming into his own and looked great. But if he's to me, that's the wild card. If he looks like himself, I like their chances. If he doesn't, I don't. I don't think the Bills are going to be able to run the ball. And this is an offense, I don't know if you know this, but it's surprising. And it was something I kind of learned in the offseason. And it made sense after watching them all last year. But this offense was, for the Buffalo, was very, very big play dependent. And they got a lot of them. You know, remember all the long runs Carlos Williams had and LeSean McCoy and Watkins and Tyrod Taylor with his legs and his deep throwing? Last week they had zero explosive plays. Tyrod Taylor threw everything short. And with the Jets pass rush and their deep front, I don't know how that's going to change in this one with Glenn out and Sammy not being the same. So I think the Jets defensive line dominates this game as they did last week. The Jets didn't end up winning that game. What else do we got here? On the other side of the ball, I don't love that situation either, but I'm really not impressed, as I've told you guys over and over, with the Bills defensive front. I think their front seven is well below average. The one thing to watch, and maybe you're not familiar with them, but they have two really good corners in Gilmore and Darby in his second year, Florida State kid. The Jets are strange. I mean, they don't have a tight end on their roster. And they will play Anunua, the bigger receiver, sort of like a tight end. Last year, they led the league by a very, very wide margin of offenses that used the most four wide receiver sets. That could happen again this year. They're kind of a one receiver short, though, to really pull that off and do it as well as they could. But they're also very, very Marshall and Decker dependent in the passing game. I think Marshall has a tough go of it tonight. You know, he's pretty much always going to line up on the outside against Gilmore or Darby. I don't think he'll get one specifically, but he'll get one of them almost always. But I think Decker gives this defense trouble. He's more the slot guy. They'll move all these guys around, don't get me wrong. But I think Decker does damage, and I think Forte's in for a big game. Both on the ground, and I don't love the Jets' offensive line, but Forte looked good to me. I think he'll catch a lot of passes tonight. I think he'll get mismatches against these linebackers. I think he can do quite a bit of damage. I don't know if you remember this, but the last time these teams met, the Jets and the Bills were reeling. They were not a very good team in week 17 of last year. And all the Bills had to do, or all the Jets had to do, was win that game, and they got into the playoffs. And that's when Ryan Fitzpatrick self-destructed. You know, everyone's talking about what a great season he had last year, and I've been saying for a while I'm not a Fitzpatrick fan. But that was the last time they played. It was his worst game of the year last year, a terrible performance by Fitzpatrick. I don't think he's going to be that bad, but I don't count on him to tear it up either. Again, I think this defense isn't all that great for the Bills, to say the least. Jerry Hughes is their best front seven player. Especially with Darius in rehab and suspended right now. He had two sacks last week. That's encouraging. He could cause problems. If I were the Jets, I would certainly try to chip him with the back or help in some way against Hughes. That's another thing to look for tonight. But if the Bills can't run the ball, and if the Jets' defensive line dominates a not-so-great O-line, I don't think Tyrod Taylor is going to be able to take this to another level without Watkins being, you know, a superstar. So I will take the Jets in this one. As you probably know, though, I am not super high on New York. Don't think it's going to be a wonderful game, but it should be competitive. Today's Locked On NFL podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. Download the mobile app, which is what I did, for the easiest way to buy tickets and the promo code LO, as in locked on, so you can figure that out, NFL, LONFL. And that gets you a $20 rebate on your first purchase, $23. You know, you're going to go to an event, aren't you? I mean, you're going to see your favorite team this weekend or at some point this season, or even better, traveling to another city to go see them and make a weekend out of it with your boys. Well, go get the tickets through SeatGeek and save $20. Why wouldn't you? I mean, really. I mean, that's the best deal going. It is a very mobile-friendly. It's gotten better this way. It's a very easy experience. The ticket is delivered inside the app. You don't have to go print anything off, especially if you're on the road. That's a great deal. You just show the mobile device, probably your phone, at the door when you're walking in the stadium. Walk to the gate with the barcode from the SeatGeek app. It's so much easier. It's great stuff. There's a deal score rating every ticket from 1 to 100 to tell you what kind of bang for your buck you get for your tickets. So, I mean, especially if you're going to a different stadium you've never been to, this is really, really helpful. If, you know, you're going to San Diego, you've never been there, and you're going to do a nice weekend in San Diego, use this app, the SeatGeek app, and it'll tell you exactly what you're going to see. I mean, from a ticket standpoint or in your viewing standpoint. You get a $20 rebate on tickets with your promo code. When someone enters your promo code, LONFL, I think I told you that, when they've purchased the first ticket, you won't see the rebate right away, but then you'll receive it in the mail. So same difference. You're still getting your 20 bucks. And you'll get an email after the purchase to verify it, of course. You can sign up for price alerts for events, and that will let you know when the pricing, what exactly the pricing is for the event. Prices can drop as you get closer to a game, just like when you used to buy tickets off a scalper. You know, if it's 5 minutes before game time, you get a heck of a better deal than 3 hours before game time. Well, same deal as a SeatGeek. I mean, go tailgate, use the app, buy it 5 minutes before the game, shows up right on your phone, show it to the usher or the ticket taker or whatever, walk right in, watch your game. A great deal. And save 20 bucks. LONFL. And there you have it. I mean, it's the best deal going. So make sure you do that. SeatGeek. Let me know how it goes, too. I've heard very positive things. I have not yet been able to get to a game. I have to watch them all at the same time, as you can imagine. My game days are pretty busy, but I want to know exactly how it goes. I do have a buddy that's using it and using the promo code and says it's been awesome. So I imagine it is. All right, guys. So Jeff Fisher got a 3-year extension yesterday. The same coach that coached that BS garbage Rams team on Monday night. Are you kidding me? I mean, those that you know that know me will show. I mean, I'm not big on bashing coaches, and I'm not even saying Jeff Fisher is a bad coach. I mean, he's won a lot of games in this league. I like the joke that July 9th is Jeff Fisher Day. I'm not sure if you get that or not, but 7-9 because he's always 7-9. And I always rebut, then it's December 4th, Bill Belichick Day. Yeah, I think you can figure that all out. Anyways, he's a perennial 500 or below coach. I don't understand this at all. I mean, especially with the timing of it. I mean, after that, after showing your ass on national TV and getting whipped by the 49ers, who most of us thought was one of the absolute worst teams in the league, oh, here you go, good work. Here's 3-year extension, a bunch more money. I mean, to me, he should be the coach most on the hot seat. And again, I don't bash coaches very often. It's a very difficult job. If you hang out with a true NFL or even college head coach or even position coach, they will amaze you with their knowledge of the game and their work ethic and the time they put in and all those things. And he's been doing this a very long time. He's won an awful lot of games. But this is just the wrong message to your team. I mean, are you serious? You know, nothing's wrong. We have total faith. We'll be fine this year. The Rams stink, and Fisher's part of the problem. He's not part of the solution. Okay, one of my favorite conversations is Hall of Fame. And yesterday, they announced the first wave of finalists. This will keep getting narrowed down. But what's cool is this year, too, it'll tell you the list of first-year eligibles. And we're going to start there. The first one is LaDainian Tomlinson, who I think's an easy one. I think he's a yes immediately. The rest of the group, and again, this is kind of like making fun of the ugliest girl at the beauty pageant, but this Hall of Fame class to me isn't as strong as it's been in recent years. It's not like, oh, there's Brett Favre, that's an easy one, you know, or when Peyton Manning comes up, you know, I mean, there's not a couple of those that you just, everyone in the room says, why are we even discussing this? Of course he's a Hall of Famer. So I think it'll be a lot more competitive to get in this year, and this might be the year that your favorite player that you've been complaining about that has not gotten in goes to Canton, you know, because it's, by Hall of Fame terms, it's somewhat a weaker class, in my opinion. Tomlinson's the headliner of the first-year eligibles, and again, I think he goes. I mean, easily, really. I mean, not as easy as a Brett Favre or those type of guys, but I think he's one of the absolute best running backs this generation. He should go. The other ones, Brian Dawkins. And I think everyone in Philadelphia is going to drive to the other side of the state and beat me up. But I think he just misses. And I understand why everyone in the world thinks he's the biggest fan favorite in the world. I love him to be on my team. I'm not sure on him. I could maybe be convinced. I'm not saying he doesn't go. But he certainly is not an easy one for me. And to show that I'm not a homer, Hines Ward's the other one. And then there's a lot of 86 jerseys running around Pittsburgh. And he is an absolute hero around here that is loved. for the way he plays the game. He was a very Steeler-like player. Again, I don't think he's quite there. You know, I'm going to mention a couple receivers that I would put in ahead of him who are also eligible. It's a tough position to go. Another receiver that is up is Chad Johnson. He was great, but I can't give it to him. I'm sorry, I don't think he's quite a Hall of Famer. Sean Alexander, he was highly, highly productive behind a great offensive line for a few years, but I do not think he's a Hall of Fame player. Donovan McNabb, sorry, no. I mean, again, he's in the Hall of Very Good. I don't think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. And I don't have huge arguments for or against some of these guys. And to me, Hall of Fame has a lot to do with feel. Like when you say a name, you go, yeah, he should be a Hall of Famer. I mean, to me, that's the easiest test. And then some guys you have to look deeper in. And I'm going to bring a couple of those up. The last guy, who I got to meet a few times, actually, when I was at the University of Akron, where he went to school, and he's from Pittsburgh, is Jason Taylor. He's kind of like Dawkins to me, that 50-50. I don't think he's a no-brainer. I could certainly make a strong argument for, but he's not a no-brainer. He's not, you know, when you say Jason Taylor, Hall of Famer, I don't go, oh, yeah. You know, and the same thing's true with Dawkins, but very, very good players, obviously. So this is the year I think Kurt Warner goes. I think he's deserving. Didn't quite get in with some classes that were a little stronger before him. How about Steve McNair? You know, like I would take McNair over McNabb every day of the week. You know, who do you want to win a game with McNair or McNabb? McNair played in an era and had Eddie George and Jeff Fisher as head coach. Didn't put up monster stats for a lot of his career. I don't think he goes, but I think he needs to be discussed. And he hasn't. He's been up for a while now. The guy that no one even talks about, and my buddy here in Pittsburgh, Jerry Dulac, who's been covering the Steelers for a really long time and knows the stuff, is livid about it. And that's Ken Anderson. Ken Anderson was Joe Montana before Joe Montana. I mean, Bill Walsh, it's really not a West Coast offense. It's an Ohio River offense that was created for Ken Anderson and his smart decision-making and getting the ball out in Cincinnati before Walsh ever went to San Francisco. And in that era, no one was throwing the ball. I mean, we're talking mid to late 70s, early 80s, and Anderson was about the best in the business. I mean, really, just go look at it. I know that sounds crazy to you, and you're all saying, Ken Anderson, no way is he going in. I mean, I'd rather have Boomer Esiason. I'm not sure that you would. And some of you are probably even too young, and I'm even kind of too young, to be honest with you. I mean, I was like 7 or 8 when he was at his best. Some other names. Here's some receivers or some running backs. Tiki Barber, and I bet you go, Tiki Barber? No way. And that's what I thought, too. You know, we started a lot of these conversations on Twitter about what running back should go, what shouldn't, since I've been on Twitter these last couple years. And a couple years ago, a couple people on Twitter, and hopefully you're listening, would write to me and say, Tiki Barber. And I'd be like, no, get out of here. And they're like, look at his numbers as a runner and receiver. They're crazy good. They really are. I mean, his case is, again, I think he's a just miss, but I think his case is a lot stronger than a lot of you realize, and really was a highly, highly productive player for a while. Terrell Davis, I kind of think if he's going to get in, this is going to be the year. I've been on the fence and said that I think he's Hall of Very Good. I think he's about as near a miss as you could get. Would you rather have Terrell Davis, Curtis Martin, or Jerome Bettis? And Bettis and Martin, to me, are kind of the worst, quote, running backs who have gotten in recently. And I think I'd put Davis third on that list. Another one I'm torn on is Edgerrin James. Like, I'd rather have Edgerrin James than Tiki Barber or Terrell Davis. So I think he could. Again, these are real fringe guys for me. The easiest one on this list, who didn't go last year, and I get why he didn't, but they say this isn't why. Terrell Owens is a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Terrell Owens might be one of the top 5 wide receivers who's ever played the game. And obviously his attitude hurts him. I think the system of how Hall of Famers are selected hurts him. You know, the guys that play, because beat reporters from different cities state your case. Well, what city is, you know, hanging T.O. up to say, this is the guy. And he played so many cities and did it really, really well. Terrell Owens is a Hall of Fame receiver. And In fact, he didn't go is crazy. If he doesn't go this year, I'm going to have an uproar about it. I don't care if you like him or not, but try covering him. Torrey Holt is another one. I would put Holt over Hines Ward or Chad Johnson. Again, I think he's knocking on the door, not quite there. Tony Baselli. I don't know if he played long enough, but I think he's as good a player as the Pace Ogden tier, and he's probably the bottom of that tier, but that's a pretty damn good tier. I think Baselli's a Hall of Famer. Alan Faneca. Yeah, you know, I think he's every bit the player. Will Shields, you know, some of these guards that have gotten in recently. Yeah, but he's going to need a sort of a weaker class to get in, and this might be it. The guy that, it's no fault of his own, he just plays the wrong position. And I think he probably goes in, you know, maybe as, like Stabler did last year, as a veterans committee someday. Is Morton Anderson. I mean, is there a better kicker in the history of the game than Morton Anderson? To me, that belongs in the Hall of Fame. I mean, I had no problem with one or two or three kicking specialists in there if you do it as long and as well as somebody like Morton Anderson. But the problem is, well, who deserves it more, Morton Anderson or Edgerrin James? You know, I mean, like, I'd rather have Edgerrin James on my team than Morton Anderson. You know, he has more value. Lastly, a coach that I've been talking about for a long time that kind of goes back to the Ken Anderson era is Don Coryell. You know, Don Coryell was so instrumental in inventing today's passing games and thriving with it, those Fouts and Joyner and Jefferson and Lofton and Winslow. And Don Coryell, to me, is a Hall of Fame offensive mind and belongs in there. I don't know that he'll ever go, but to me, he belongs in there. My man Robert Flores, Roflo, you know Roflo, he thinks that Coach Flores should go, and he's made some strong arguments in the past when we've been on the air together. I always kind of thought he was a just miss, but and he sort of was hurt probably by following John Madden, you know, big name, you know, big production. You never want to follow somebody who's kind of basically a legend. Coach Flores has a pretty good case too, so a little shout out to Roflo. All right, let's wrap this up with a Twitter question or two. I just love this dude's name, and he's been following me on Twitter for a long time, and he's been very active, and has said a lot of good things about me over the years. My man, Cuddly Beastly Dude. You gotta love that. He's Cuddly Beastly Dude. He asked me, with a new coach, what do you believe it will take for Miami to draft a quarterback next year as a possibility to replace Tannehill? Tannehill to me is almost like Teflon. You know, they just paid him a lot of money. This organization is married to him. Coaches have come and gone over Tannehill's short stint, and he has stayed. He would really need to self-destruct for them to go another direction. I think it may be safer than the coach. I mean, he has been since he's been there. And I actually do think, and I don't know if we've talked a lot about this, but I think the Gase-Tannehill marriage is really going to pay off big for Miami. And he'll end up being the best quarterback that franchise has had since Marino. And they've had a million. That doesn't get talked about a lot. But there's been quite a few since Danny M went through there. They need a guy, and I think it is Tannehill. Derek Hess asked me, and this is the last one we'll do, does Terrell Williams take off in San Diego, and does Lockett rebound in week two? Lockett rebounds huge. I don't even know that he was bad in week one. Just didn't put up great stats. He didn't let your fantasy team down a little bit. I love the player. I think he's a star in the making. I have all the faith in the world in Lockett. I do realize they have a couple guys there that they like, so he's not on the field a ton. It's a good problem to have if you're the Hawks. Their offensive line's a little bit of a worry. It's a big worry. And now Wilson's injury's a worry. But I have all the faith in the world in Lockett. I don't have all the faith in the world in Tyrell Williams, but he will be getting opportunities. Showed up big in the preseason. They like him. He's going to be on the field a lot now by default. I don't know that he's going to be able to take major advantage of that, though. You know, is he going to be able to beat man coverage consistently with, you know, number one and number two corners on him? I have my doubts. I mean, I think he's a nice find for them, but I don't think he's going to have a huge year by any stretch of the imagination, or if you're thinking about picking him up for fantasy, which I know what you guys do. You ask me these questions about wide receivers and running backs, and how do you think the rest of the year is going to go? Basically, should I pick these dudes up off the waiver wire? No. I mean, unless you really have a hole in your roster or whatever, but I don't think he's going to have a huge year. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up. Make sure you check out SeatGeek, like I said. Get back to me with any questions, concerns, whatever, on Twitter. Let's have a conversation tonight as we watch the game. And tomorrow we're going to pick every game and break them down. I was pretty successful last week. And I got to say, this upcoming week isn't a lot of headline feature games. I mean, still the NFL is awesome. But as games go, these are pretty, not a great week. But, all right, enjoy your Thursday.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.